and prayers night and day, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Our Heavenly Father, as we meet together today, we thank you, Lord, and bless the name, that name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. How wonderful it is for God's people to be able to meet together and to share with one another, to share in their love and to share in the grace of God that's been given to your people. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege we have of gathering together in this place. And I pray, Father, that you'll just keep us warm as possible. Keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that you give perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on thee. And we pray for that perfect peace. We pray, Father, that you'll bless every aspect of this service. May it bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for our pastor as he ministers the word up in Kentucky. We pray, Father, that you would bless him, give him liberty, give him clarity of thought. And may the word of God go forth in power. And Lord, we pray the same for us here, and that you would give us hearing ears to hear what you have to say. Those of our congregation who have special needs, we pray, Father, that you, our God, who is sufficient for all, would supply those needs. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for those who are in attendance here, if they be any. Those who, Lord, have not looked to you and lived. Father, we pray that this morning that we may see Jesus high and lifted up, that we may see our Lord who brought and wrought salvation to us. Bless your people in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After the singing of the hymn in the bulletin, Kim will be singing a song for us. In your Bibles again, back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Obi, do I need to turn this on? Thank you. Luke chapter 2, let me invite your attention down to verse 29. Luke chapter 2. Simeon is speaking and says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The only peace there is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah let us know that for sure. In Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6, he is called the Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. It's not a concept. In our lives, it's a concept. We try to have peace with one another. But there is a peace to be had with God that we cannot achieve. We cannot find in ourselves. We can't build up to it. It must come from God Himself. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, He says, He is our peace. Peace is a person. And there's no peace apart from the grace of God. Look with me, hold your place there, mark your place there, and look with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and let's go down to verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. This is the God of peace at work. And His work is the work of grace, not our work. There's nothing we can do to bring the grace of God on us. However, our Lord did say that He came into the world to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost. God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the next verse down, two verses down, He died for the ungodly. When an ungodly sinner hears the call of God, He'll come to Him. David said, "You said for me to call on you, so I called." This peace is the grace of God. God giving His grace to us. According to Philippians chapter 4, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Now, if that's what God says about it, that's what God said through Paul about it, then where's the understanding in it? The understanding is in a person, Jesus Christ. If you know the person, you have peace. You have peace with God. You have the peace of God. You have God's peace if you know the person. You see, on the other hand, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 57, well, let's go there. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, and let's begin in verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is a contrast here. In Christ, there's peace, because He is peace. Without Christ, there is no peace to be had nowhere in this world. How the Lord gives peace is set forth in this passage that I read to us this morning. How the Lord gives peace. You see, what is my greatest problem? What keeps me from having peace? Well, sin does. And my inability to keep the law. My inability to do what God wants me to do. It's just not in me. It's not in my flesh. James said it this way, whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall offend in one point is guilty of all. Well, there's not much hope for me. And there isn't in me, in my flesh. There is no good thing. There's no hope with me for me in me. My flesh is weak. I need a perfect Savior. I need a perfect peace. Hosea said it like this, there's no Savior besides me. That's what God said. There's no Savior besides me. You'll not find a Savior anywhere else. You'll not find this peace and this perfect Savior anywhere else. He was tempted in all points. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement, the mercy seat. It's the person, Jesus Christ. And what I want us to see in this passage, if I'm able to explain it well enough, what I want us to see in this passage is, number one, the law fulfilled. Number two, the Savior revealed. And then we'll look at another little part as we close it, bind it all together and close it up. Number one, the law is fulfilled. Now, think with me back to the birth of Jesus Christ. 8 days later, He's still a baby, isn't He? Don't even have to say that, do I? He's still a little baby. 8-day-old child. If you're going to keep the law and not offend, and yet offend in one point, you'd be guilty of all, He's going to have to keep all the law. How's He going to do that as an 8-day-old baby? God gave Him godly parents, didn't He? God gave Him to Mary. God gave Him to Joseph. And God told Him what to call Him. In Luke 1:31, He told Mary to call Him Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, He told Joseph to call Him Jesus. So when they get to the temple, what do? They call Him Jesus. But they kept the law for Him. An 8-day-old child must be brought to the Lord at the temple and there to be presented to the Lord, and he would be called holy to the Lord. A little 8-day-old baby can't do that. I am so glad that He kept the law. He did not come to destroy it, but He came to fulfill it. He kept all the law. Even when He was an 8-day-old baby, He kept all the law for us. And there was a reason He did that. Because He knew I couldn't keep it. He knew that God demanded perfection. The only way to enter into heaven is to be perfect. He knew that God demanded holiness. The only way to enter into heaven is to be holy. Even God said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. And another place, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's no way to get there in me. But thank the Lord, He kept the entire law. He showed His righteousness, His obedience to the Father. And as He stands before God, every one of His people stands with Him in righteousness and holiness. You don't wait to become righteous. You don't work to become righteous. You don't wait to become holy. You don't work to be holy. You are righteous. You are holy in Him. He fulfilled all the law. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was given the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. That's what Jesus means. Same word in the Old Testament is Joshua. This is our Joshua. Jesus, Jehovah, our salvation. No wonder Simeon said, now have mine eyes seen thy salvation. And they sacrificed for him. He couldn't make the sacrifices as an eight-day-old child. They sacrificed him for him. The Lord Jesus must be perfect. According to Hebrews chapter 5, he was made perfect. Made perfect. This little child that he held in his arms, 8 days old, was Simeon's salvation. But more than that, it was God's salvation for his people. None other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved, but by that name of Jesus Christ our Lord. He must fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. The first Adam was disobedient. The last Adam was obedient. He said, I do always those things that please my Father, even as an eight-day-old baby. He rendered the law, if you will, he rendered the law inoperative to his people. He kept the law. He fulfilled the law. There's no way you can keep it. There's no way you can fulfill it. But in him, it is done. And now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God will not condemn his people. He'll not condemn them because Jesus Christ bore that condemnation upon him, himself, having nailed it to the cross. He abolished the handwritings of ordinances against us, having nailed it to the cross. He must be the perfect sacrifice. In order to be the perfect sacrifice, he had to be without fault, without sin, without anything wrong with him. He had to be like the Passover lamb of Exodus chapter 12. They had to find a perfect lamb. Not just any lamb, but a perfect lamb. And Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb. He had to be a perfect Savior. A perfect Savior. He was made perfect for us as a Savior. And those who would go to heaven must be perfect. That's the gospel. Because He purged our sins. He put away our sins. He pardoned our sins. He's the ransom for our sins. He came to justify, to sanctify, and to glorify His people. He came to as our justification, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our justification, our sanctification, our redemption, our righteousness. He is our wisdom. The good news is, He accomplished it all. There's not one thing left to do. He accomplished every bit of it. He never failed. He cried out, "It is finished." He spoke to his Father, "I've finished the work. It's done. Salvation has nothing to do with what I do. Salvation is He, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all." So in these first few verses here in Luke chapter 2 that we read, when he was 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purifying according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." The law was fulfilled in a person, Jesus Christ. Next thing I want you to notice with me, that the Savior is revealed. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He must be revealed. So the Lord reveals it to Simeon. We look at it and we say, in a special way? But no, the Lord reveals to His people Himself the same way He revealed Himself to Simeon. Look at it with me. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Now we're told to behold. Take stock. Stop. Look. Study it out. Think about it. Behold. Behold this Simeon, a man that lived in Jerusalem. He was a just man. He was a devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the fulfillment of the preaching of Isaiah chapter 42. Turn there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 42. Excuse me, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He was waiting for this consolation. The word consolation is comfort. Same word as used for the Spirit of God, the Comforter. Same word. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for that comfort, and that's what the good news gives us. That's what the gospel gives us. Comfort. Real comfort. Not man-made comfort. Not man-contrived comfort. But the comfort that only God can give. You're saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. He was waiting for that seed to come. All Israel was waiting for it. From the time that Moses wrote to them about the garden and the seed of the woman, all of them were looking for that seed. That seed that would come. That seed that would be the comfort. That seed that would be the salvation of God's people. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for that seed of Abraham that was going to be blessed and bless all nations. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, They were looking for that seed that was the root and offspring of David. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That same word is used here. For comforter, for consolation, it's an everlasting consolation. It comes everlastingly from the Lord. The Savior is revealed to Simeon here. The Holy Ghost was upon him to guide him, to teach him, to reprove him, convince him of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's that Holy Spirit is that other comforter. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will give you another comforter. And he will tell you of me. He will guide you into truth. That other comforter, The Greeks had two words for another. One meant, it was easy to you to decipher because they spelled them so differently. But one meant another of a different kind. One meant another of the same kind. And that's the word that's used here. I'm going to leave you another comforter just like me. As a matter of fact, he is God just like me. I'm going to leave you another comforter. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And God's revelation to Simeon by the Holy Ghost is given to us here. In verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's effectual salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ effectually finished the work of salvation. He died once for sins once, and there's no more offering for sin. And it's made effectual to his people. And we love these words. When God says, I will, ye shall. It's done. This is effectual salvation. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was kept from eternity. He was preserved for this. That's eternal election. God purposed, God elected, God chose in eternity that one day Simeon was going to look at God's salvation in an 8-day-old baby. If you are one of his, may I say it this way? If you are one of his, you will not die until you have seen the Lord's Christ. It just won't happen. If you're one of his, you won't die until you see who Jesus Christ really is. In due time, he came for you. He came unto his own. He came that they might have life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in due time, the Father will bring you to the Son. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll nowise cast out. The Father will bring you to him, and you'll come by the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. You may not feel it, you may not know it. By the way, did you know you're not here by chance? It didn't just happen that you're here. And it didn't just happen that we came in on a cold morning. You're not here by chance. God the Holy Spirit is doing the leading. God is doing the controlling. It's God's purpose for you to be here. whether you understand that or I understand that or not. The exact time that the parents brought Jesus into the temple was the same time that Simeon walked into the temple. And God said, there he is. How do you know God said, there he is? Well, it says, according to thy word. I said, I'm going to show you. You'll not taste death till you've seen the Lord's Christ. I'm going to show you. And God did show him. In verse 29, the end of verse 29, he says, according to thy word. He took up that child in his arms. He embraced him. And he said, now I've seen thy salvation. Have you seen it? Have you seen the salvation of the Lord? Have you seen that one that Moses cried out there before the Red Sea and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Have you seen the one that was lifted up? And if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in me should have eternal life. Have you seen him? Has he been lifted up? He took that child in his arm and he embraced him. And we take him in our arms by faith and embrace him. Peter said it this way, whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you believe. We take him up in our arms. And Anna spoke of his redemption when she came. She came in at the exact same time too. She walked out just as Simeon was saying what he said. Now let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. She stepped out at the same time. And after he had preached his little message, we'll see here in just a moment. After he had preached his little message, she said she came out and she blessed God and that God had brought in his redemption. God's redemption. He just took him at his word. Doesn't matter what I say. As a matter of fact, most of the time I fog things up. Doesn't matter what I say. What does the Lord say? Thus saith the Lord. What does he say? You see, the Lord keeps his word. His word is like Samuel's. Remember when Samuel first found the Lord had spoken to him and he said, Lord, here am I. Right after that, it tells us that God did not let any of his words fall to the ground. God's words don't fall to the ground. They are forever settled in heaven. All his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He does not fail. Simeon came by the word of God. And that's a miracle in itself, if you think about it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Beginning in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a miracle in itself. That through the word of God, through the preaching of the word of God, faith comes to the heart. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace. The word let means set at liberty. Now set me at liberty. When someone is brought to the Savior, when salvation is seen by a person, that person is ready to be with their Savior. There are a lot of things on this earth that I love, and you do too. But there's nothing greater than the love of my Savior and being with Him for all eternity. No wonder Paul said, I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to depart. Now, for me to stay is far better for you, but for me to go, wow, what's that going to be? To see our Savior, to see Him with, instead of the eye of faith, the actual eye of flesh. To see our Savior, to see Him standing there with His outstretched arms and see those nail prints in His hands, that spear-ribbon side, those nail-pierced feet, what He did for you and me. And for all eternity, we are looking at God's salvation. What a day. No wonder we sing that song. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Let thy servant depart in peace. For when you see His salvation, you will have His peace. I'm ready, Paul said. I'm ready to die, he said in Acts 21. He also said, I'm ready to preach, but he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready. You will not be ready unless you're perfect. Unless you are holy. The peace that man has, not as the world give I unto thee. The peace that he has is the peace that passes understanding. That's what he gives. It doesn't come any other way than by the person of Jesus Christ. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared, that body, that 8-day-old body, thou hast prepared in the presence of all, before the face of all the people, when God cries out in Isaiah 65, behold me! In the face of all the people, in the face of Jesus Christ, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Boy, I'm glad of that. The glory of thy people Israel. When I used to do my spiritual thing, for 40 years preaching another gospel, one of my first words to people that I would meet is, are you ready to go to heaven? I'm not asking you that. And please don't misunderstand me when I say it this way. I don't care whether you go to heaven or not. Have you seen my Savior, Jesus Christ? That's what I ask you. Have you seen Him? Because He is our only hope. He is our only perfection. He is our only holiness. Now, are you ready to depart in peace this place? Have you seen the Lord's salvation? Much more that I could say, but I'm going to quit right there. O Lord, let me depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. With the eye of faith you gave me, that I may see thy redemption. I saw my Savior, the Lord's Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty King, who liberated from sin's strife and made peace for me, atoning. When yet I did not know thy grace, you kept me that I should not die, till in due time you showed your face that I should be with you on high. Now, Lord, let me depart in peace. I see you as my sovereign Lord. This peace from you will never cease. This peace according to thy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us just a glimpse again of how wonderful, mighty, majestic, powerful, great you are, even in an 8-day-old baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought me to the place to see thy salvation. And now I can depart in peace. And many of these, if not all, the same prayer can be said. We pray your blessings upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.